Chapter 6 Musical Hallucinations. In December of 2002, I was consulted by Cheryl C., an intelligent and friendly woman of 70. Mrs. C. had had progressive nerve deafness for more than 15 years, and now had profound hearing loss on both sides. Until a few months earlier, she had managed to get by with lip-reading and the use of sophisticated hearing aids. But then her hearing had suddenly deteriorated further. Her otolaryngologist suggested a trial of prednisone. Mrs. C. took a gradually rising dose of this for a week, and during this time she felt fine. But then, she said, on the 7th or 8th day, I was up to 60 milligrams by then, I woke up in the night with dreadful noises, terrible, horrific, like trolley cars, bells, clanging. I covered my ears, but it made no difference. It was so loud, I wanted to run out of the house. Her first thought, indeed, was that a fire engine had stopped outside the house, but when she went to the window and looked out, the street was completely empty. It was only then that she realized that the noise was in her head, that she was hallucinating for the first time in her life. After about an hour, this clangor was replaced by music, tunes from The Sound of Music and part of Michael Row Your Boat Ashore, three or four bars of one or the other, repeating themselves with deafening intensity in her mind. I was well aware that there was no orchestra playing, that it was me, she emphasized. I was afraid I was going mad. Mrs. C.'s physician suggested that she taper off the prednisone, and a few days later the neurologist whom she had now consulted suggested a trial of Valium. Mrs. C.'s hearing, meanwhile, had returned to its previous level, but neither this nor the Valium nor the tapering of the prednisone had any effect at all on her hallucinations. Her music continued to be extremely loud and intrusive, stopping only when she was intellectually engaged, as in conversation or in playing bridge. Her hallucinatory repertoire increased somewhat, but remained fairly limited and stereotyped, confined mostly to Christmas carols, songs from musicals, and patriotic songs. All of these were songs she knew well. Musically gifted and a good pianist, she had often played them in her college days and at parties. I asked her why she spoke of musical hallucinations rather than musical imagery. "They are completely unlike each other," she exclaimed. "They are as different as thinking of music and actually hearing it." Her hallucinations, she emphasized, were unlike anything she had ever experienced before. They tended to be fragmentary, a few bars of this, a few bars of that, and to switch at random, sometimes even in mid-bar, as if broken records were being turned on and off in her brain. All of this was quite unlike her normal coherent and usually obedient imagery, though it did have a little resemblance, she granted, to the catchy tunes that she, like everyone, sometimes heard in her head. But unlike catchy tunes, and unlike anything in her normal imagery, the hallucinations had the startling quality of actual perception. At one point, sick of carols and popular songs, Mrs. C. had tried to replace the hallucinations by practicing a Chopin etude on the piano. "That stayed in my mind a couple of days," she said, "and one of the notes, that high F, played over and over again." She started to fear that all of her hallucinations would become like this, two or three notes, or perhaps a single note, high, piercing, unbearably loud, like the high A Schumann heard at the end of his life. Mrs. C. was fond of Charles Ives, and another worry she had was that she might have an Ives hallucination. Ives's compositions often contain two or more simultaneous melodies, sometimes completely different in character. She had never yet heard two hallucinatory tunes simultaneously, but she started to fear that she would. She was not kept awake by her musical hallucinations or prone to musical dreams, and when she awoke in the morning, there would be an inner silence for a few seconds, during which she would wonder what the tune du jour was going to be.